Authorities are working to stop an ugly and bloody tradition in Muslim Mindanao in the southern Philippines. Families there are fighting among themselves. These long-standing blood feuds are known as rito, and some charge the government isn't doing enough to change the culture that makes rito possible. From Manila, Simone Orendine reports.
What rito is, why and how it happens, is not the easiest thing to explain. On one level, it looks like a relatively simple Hatfields versus McCoys type of feud, but on another level, it's more like gang warfare. Take Fatmawati Salapuddin's example. She has spent countless hours mediating between clans enmeshed in ritos. In the 1990s, in Salapuddin's hometown in western Mindanao, her father's family and her mother's nephew fought over the same piece of lucrative farmland with landmines, mortar shells, and other weapons.
There were about 20 people killed on each side. They were already firing bombardment mortar shelling to the other side.
In Muslim Mindanao, family squabbles like these can easily escalate into mini wars because of the sheer number of people involved. First of all, families here don't just mean mom, dad, and the kids. They are clans made up of hundreds of parents, children, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandparents. Salapuddin says deadly fights can erupt over power, disputed land, or simply trying to preserve someone's good name.
It's a terrible thing because people get killed, people get displaced, properties are burned, you know.
And like many seemingly senseless conflicts, ritos can last for generations. Francisco Lara is an anthropologist who studies the phenomenon in Mindanao and schedules meetings with peace workers during hurried lunches in Manila.
If the clans say we need to fight this group so that we are not vulnerable to predation, family members and clan members will join in that fight. Able-bodied men, you know, from, you know, a very young age will be trained in the process of involvement in clan wars.
What's more, some clan members belong to Muslim separatist groups or private militias, which means they have easy access to weapons. Lara says part of the reason that ritos persist is cultural. Well before the Philippines became a country, Muslims in Mindanao had something similar to a feudal system. And as in any feudal structure, power struggles are inevitable.
Mindanao has never really been part of the fold, so-called, of the Philippine country, the archipelago. Definitely, Mindanao represents something that is part of the old.
Another problem is geography. Because the region is far from the seat of power, governments have been unwilling or unable to provide support. Instead, he says, Spanish colonizers in the 1500s and Americans in the late 1800s co-opted leaders of elite families to keep order, plying them with money and political power.
The government has not even been able to extend its administrative reach. So in those areas, only the clans can provide protection. Only the clans can provide welfare to local community members.
Peace workers say constituents don't see any perks from the deals with the government. So basic needs like school upkeep and infrastructure go unfunded. Plus, jobs are scarce. They say constituents would just as soon pick up a gun to survive in this type of environment, helping rito to flourish. And they say, from the outside, parts of the region look like the Wild Wild West. At a cafe in Manila, Mussolini Lidasan assesses the situation in his western Mindanao province. He says plain old ignorance is a big culprit in rito. He says it's reaching a point where they can't see beyond the next personal affront or the next power grab. And Lidasan says it's time the government stepped in directly to help.
As long as injustices are there, as long as our people are illiterate, they have no access to the education, and as long as there are no clear government programs to uplift their socioeconomic conditions, then this will go on and on and on.
It may be hard, though, to change the culture, either of rito or the government itself. Many say that clan leaders have become akin to mob bosses, and like organized crime leaders, they get involved in politics, delivering votes for national politicians, allegedly reaping financial perks for their efforts. For The World, I'm Simone Orendine in Manila.